Macquarie Power is pleased to sponsor this edition of Senior Focus.
This is Bill Reno back with you again, just back from a short trip to the United States. I normally go as Christmas, as you well know. You've heard about that in the past. This time I went in February and early March because I had a family wedding at Christmas. We heard about that last time too. And it was a good trip, but usually the usual problem, it was sort of winter time. We only got out of the house twice. It wasn't sort of snowing and blizzardy, but very cold. And that's the problem they have. It's either very cold in the winter and very hot in the summer. But it was good to catch up with the grandchildren. They're all growing up. The youngest is now six. In fact, her seventh birthday was just a few weeks after I left, like last week. And had a usual problem with the United States travel in the winter. Disruption is sort of quite the norm. They get big storms coming in from the northeast and down from the Arctic through Canada. And my original flight from Cincinnati to Houston was delayed for 4 hours, which meant I didn't make the connection in Houston. So I had rerouted to Los Angeles and up to San Francisco to catch the flight back to New Zealand. And it was a bit of a shock because I found out it was a United Airlines plane. I always book on Air New Zealand, being a good supporter of the airline and a good sort of Kiwi bloke. And I thought it was just a code share. But when I got to the aircraft, it was United Aircraft. Airlines aircraft coming down to New Zealand. I didn't realise they did, but they'd been coming down for about 2 years. Fortunately, it was a brand new aeroplane and didn't have too many people on board, so I managed to have three seats to myself, so it didn't turn out too bad. But pleased to be back, as always. We're sort of scrambling a bit today because it's sort of in the general sort of time we've been grappling with council. It's council sort of submissions time, and that's a very long and sort of consuming a business, getting worse to the point it's almost farcical. And then this morning I went and sort of spoke to the Sunny Nook Ladies Club, which was quite an interesting exercise. They're one of the Probus group, and Probus do a wonderful job for the seniors. They seem to have a good formula. They came out of Rotary originally, and they probably have that discipline and structure that the Rotary clubs have, because they have their monthly meetings, and they have a guest speaker, and they have a club speaker in the first part. Then they break for a cup of tea, which is quite good, a little social, more than just a cup of tea, it's a social break. Then the other thing they do, they have a trip a month and two sort of cafe sessions during the week. So it's quite a comprehensive but very relaxed social atmosphere. There's no projects or fundraising, anything like that. The only thing that intrigued me with the Sunny Nook Ladies Club, I was a bit surprised that the Greens haven't got on to them about this gender balance. It was a bit odd having no men there, but I guess that's swinging in the modern direction that things seem to be going. So what I'm going to do today is sort of my talk to them was about grey power, and it was sort of interesting that you never really think about what we do. And so I'll go through sort of a bit of a précis of what I talked to the seniors about. And I've got my good friend Marty Marinovich here, and we'll be talking a little bit later about things west, including idea we put forward some time back about the wine museum that Acid Corbin's put on the agenda. That seems to be making a bit of progress. But meanwhile, meeting with the ladies, it was a bit interesting when they called, because I must admit that when Lorraine called me a couple of weeks ago and asked me to come along and talk about grey power, I thought, oh, that's nice. Very happy to do that, but it could be pretty boring. And then she mentioned grey power electricity, and I thought, well, okay, that's a bit better. We'll add some flavour. And I was still struggling with this on Saturday. And then on Saturday night, I had a light bulb moment, something of an epiphany, when I was watching a rerun of that incredibly funny British movie, Calendar Girls. I'm sure you all know it, about the ladies of the Napley Women's Institute and their annual fundraising project of producing a calendar of local scenes, which usually raised about 75 quid to buy a sofa for the local hospital. And then the progression to have a nude calendar featuring their members in delicate poses that raised hundreds of thousands that paid for a whole new ward. A true story, incredibly funny, with a key underlining message as well, about the two sort of lively ladies in the club who actually have found in their teenage son's bedroom a sort of a girly magazine of those times with large bosoms, and suddenly they got this sort of light bulb moment of their own, and the thing took off. But don't worry, I'm not going to promote that nude Christmas calendar with the Sunny Nook Ladies Club, but it clarified my thinking about what to talk about. It's interesting, the grey power in Auckland at the moment has quite a broad sort of what you might call range of activity. It was sort of moved away from the original concept that grey power had, which started in the way back 20-odd years ago in the 90s as a protest against the government, the central government, fiddling with the pension, not putting on a surcharge and they're not taking it off, which had seniors marching in the streets and lobbying Parliament. Now we're down, we're still sort of, they had about 90,000 members at that time. Now we've got about 61,000 members and 70-odd associations. And our head hierarchy is based in the South Island, all volunteers with a small office in Papakura. So Grey Power in Auckland is sort of a semi, independent is the wrong word, but sort of it's focused on Auckland Council more than the sort of broader political scene, which we leave to our colleagues in the national executive. And just we're talking about the North Shore, which is probably I'll focus on is the patch I know most about. We got 3,100 members, and the curious thing is that we've got five members of Parliament, though we did have, we've got five members of Parliament, four electorate and one list, who are all cabinet ministers until recently, but now that's changed. And now we've got, and of course, two of them are retiring. We've got Jonathan Coleman's going and Stephen Joyce going, and Murray McCulley's gone, so we have a new bunch and are coming for by-election in Northcote, which will be very, very interesting to see how it goes. But Grey Power is sort of is largely focused on the Auckland Council. We've had a real sort of issues at the moment with the Auckland Plan, or the Auckland, it was supposed to be called the Auckland Plan Refresh. This is part of the normal planning cycle that the Auckland Council has, and they had the original Auckland Plan and a 10-year budget. Then every 3 years they have to review the budget, which is sensible if you're doing it for 10 years and things change. But what has happened, and there's general dissatisfaction across the whole community, is that the Auckland Plan set out targets and aspirations for the various sectors of the community in a way that you could sort of readily understand and follow. And, for example, Heritage had a section of its own, the Seniors had a section of its own, Sport and Recreation had a section of its own, Arts and Culture had a section of its own. And you could see where you fit. Whereas now, if the new process, it's just a bland, amorphous mix. The key focus is to sort of develop the Māori sort of connection further, and then celebrate diversity element, and then sort of look closely at the Southern Initiative, which focuses on the needs of South Auckland. And that continues, but the part of that meant that the normal community has basically been squeezed out completely. So this is a wider issue. The whole sort of have-a-say process is extremely questionable. In fact, it was quite interesting at the meeting today. There were about 80 people there, and I said, well, how many actually submitted in the have-a-say process? And there's only one. And what's happened is they've had their meetings in community areas. I went to the one that was down the Takapuna car park, and the council had three sort of canopies, and they had their staff and the various councillors giving you out strips of stickers. And the idea went, you went and stuck your stickers on the outline of the the key questions they'd sent out to the community, which are all slanted. There's no room for any sort of actual dialogue. And, of course, it was stupid because you could put five stickers on one sort of answer if you wanted to. So how on earth that could be regarded as professional, I don't know. But anyway, we'll talk about that in a moment. But right now we'll sort of have a little bit of music, and it's probably symptomatic of what the council consultation process is about. We've got Simon and Garfunkel, Sound of Silence.
Hello darkness, my old friend, I've come to talk with you again. because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, neath the halo of a street lamp. I turned my collar to golden dam. When my eyes were spared by the flash of a neon light, they split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing songs that voices never share. No one did disturb the sound of silence. Fools said I do not know. Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. But my words, like silent raindrops, fell. And echoed the will of silence. People bowed and prayed to the neon god they made. And the sign flashed out its warning in the words that it was forming. And the sign said the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls. Tenement halls whispered.
Here we are back again, and probably just focusing again on what I was talking about with the grey pair activity. It's much broader now than it used to be, just focusing on major senior political issues, particularly in Auckland. It's probably the only pan-Auckland community group left. The old Ratepayers Association, etc., is a citywide group, have almost faded away and are purely locally focused, whereas Grey Power has that wider community link across the whole city and is making a much greater effort to take a direct interest in community affairs. And of course, many volunteer groups are struggling, particularly those involved with the seniors, as their members get older and their ability to sort of bring their facilities up to modern standards and things gets more difficult. The sort of key things that we were focusing on in the council for the submission were two major things. One was the question of the publicity, population policy form we've been putting on the agenda for the last few years. Also the question of reviewing the whole structure and operation of the city, because it's not working well, and specifically in terms of the senior community. We put forward the need for the age-friendly city, and also support for the senior community facilities that are in the city, particularly the senior citizens associations. But there's a lot going on, and probably now I just ask Matty whether his association put in submissions to the council and just what they focused
on. Yes, well, the choice of the songs, Hello Silence, My Old Friend, well, we have put in a submission ourselves, and I did one personally, and we raised the issue of grandfathering of rates, which they probably have never even thought about. So that's in the pipeline there. Whether how much it's diluted down or what is achieved out of it, we don't know. But at least we've done our little bit. The council has in the process this year, it's wanting to bring in targeted rates. And I think as grey power as such, and in terms of our federation's policy, we sort of oppose targeted rates. And the other aspect is we oppose the sale of public buildings. So in regard to that, yesterday myself and our Vice President Steve McDonald from Waitakere Grey Power went to the Henderson Massey local board extraordinary meeting where they discussed the disposal of 6 Henderson Valley Road, which is the former Waitakere City Council chambers and the buildings annexed there too. And the councillors Hulls and Cooper attended and they spoke. But majority of the board, I think the whole lot of them were opposed to it. But then that goes to the council's policy and finance committee meeting on that recommendation goes to the council's policy and finance committee meeting on the 17th of April. So Councillor Hulls gave a sort of a political answer. Well, the board has done this, but when it gets to the next chink in the chain, it could be different. So we have to wait what happens there. But there are enough of us in there to make them feel a little bit squeamish, and it's important that we Grey Power continues to lobby for the if we can keep our public assets.
Oh, that's an interesting aspect, because we had a situation on the North Shore very similar to that, where there's a big issue about selling the Takapuna car park to develop in apartments and commercial buildings. Well, the Takapuna was bought by the retailers of Takapuna, I think, 70 years ago.
Yes.
And it's the only big area of open space, and the community want it kept as like an Aotea square type thing.
Yes.
And strong opposition. The local board, and we've got quite a bit of a political split in our local board, they're unanimous about wanting to keep it, and particularly from the senior point of view, they want to get rid of all the car parks. Well, seniors need car parks, in spite of what the Greens Party say,
yes,
and Generation Zero. But the interesting thing was that our two councillors, Chris Darby and Richard Hills, at the council level, voted to sell it. And so you get this issue of what are councillors' responsibilities, to listen to their ratepayers and reflect their opinions, or just do what they want regardless of the opinion. So it's an issue on the table. And
it is. It's sort of now making me wonder what's going to happen on the 17th of April, because you'll have the corporate people of the council and the chief executive and all the others will put in their report. But the recommendation yesterday was that they needed lots of further information. So they've sort of gone off, how would you put it, half-cocked.
Well, I think, too, the point you make, that the grey power attitude is that really you should not sell your assets, and particularly land. I mean, some things, okay, there might be a reason, but, I mean, you know, sort of so much has been sold off now just to sort of finance the, you know, beginner city projects, that to selling land, particularly when you've got rising population pressure, is just not smart.
Well, I just sent a text message to Councillor Hulls, and I said that if they did sell any part of it, that the proceeds go towards either refurbishing the pool down at West Wave or towards a new pool, which is badly needed out west. But the money, apparently, according to one of the local boards, if something was sold, would go into the melting pot in the city council, which is a corporate entity and it's a business. So all the money goes in there. And then I said to her, this money was paid, this building was paid for on a loan basis and by the ratepayers of Waitakere. Oh, no, it doesn't work like that. I said, I know it doesn't work like that, but we are the poor cousins.
Well, I think the difficulty is, I find, I mean, if you had an innovative council and smart businessman, or like any businessman, I mean, there's people making a fortune out of property and renting them out. So you can do exactly that. You know, get it, keep it, rent it out, keep it in the public control. Probably sounds like socialism, but I mean, it's just smart. You got it there, it costs you nothing. In essence, you could redevelop it, get high rents, and get a good return.
Well,
so no need to sell it.
I even had the first two people tell me, the business people, why don't they turn it? We need a hotel out there, a good hotel for accommodation. Now, have any of them, have any of the councillors, Ross Clough, who's the chairman of that committee, should they sit down and think with these corporate people from the council and nut something out? Because we don't want any of it sold. We don't want the land sold. Why not do something with it? Well, that's going to enhance it, because at the moment, one of our members turned up and he went to use the toilet there. No lights in the toilets. They've let the maintenance down.
Oh, okay. Well, I think that's pretty universal. We've had the same with
everywhere.
The North Shore.
So everywhere.
Yeah, just slack. Well, that'll be interesting to see how it evolves, because we've got another issue in Panuku. We've got this, this sort of reason for being is to get rid of council properties, and we've got another issue coming up on the North Shore with the old Devonport post office, the council chambers, which was built in 1908, which they now say is now they don't need it for surplus to requirements for council purposes, but it has the eyesight in it, and it has the council community facilitator, and it's a heritage building. The first floor is protected, so why on earth they can't sort of have a sensible suggestion of keeping it, keeping the community activities there, renting out the space that's not needed for whatever, restaurant or whatever, but they just don't have that sort of initiative.
No. We had, there was a lady there from Panuku yesterday, and there was a man there from Panuku, and then we'd actually, at our last committee meeting last month, we had Panuku out talking about the Wilshire Village, and they did allude to the fact that they are looking at all surplus properties.
Well, that's their role. They're given that role to sort of... That was their mandate, and they got a raise. I forget what it is. You know, $60 million a year.
It seems to me that the octopus doesn't know what it's doing. If you know what I mean, they're not gelling with one lot's not gelling with the other.
Well, don't start me on that, because Devonport with the area office, it's been effectively vacant for 6 years.
Lordy.
And we sort of had Devonport Heritage hat on when the Super City first started. We said, look, we want a bit of space there, and we can help people who had heritage issues with planning and things, and we just want a desk space, 24 hours notice. You know, you could give us 24 hours notice and a telephone plug, and that's all we need. And they said, oh, well, we're going to sort of get it set up for renting and whatever. And then about 2 years later, we asked again. They said, oh, no, we're still looking at doing it. Then they had the eyesight there, and that moved that out, and it was vacant. And 6 years later, 6 years, that building's just been unused.
How about now we change tack just a tad and remind all members of Grey Power in Auckland to renew your subscriptions and become part of Grey Power, because we're trying in our darndest to do the best we can for you at council level. Bill and I will be meeting with Paula Bennett on Friday, and somewhere down the track we'll be meeting with Phil Twyford and Alfred Narrow. We're into that round of things next. So we do the local stuff, and then we get our eye teeth into the politicians, because we go without fear or favour to all of them. But do renew your subs. We're there to support and work for you, and we will continue to do so.
Yeah, just on that point too, that's very well put, and I think encourage your friends to join up as well. And one of the things we were looking at is this broader community activity. The more people we have on our North Shore, once again, to support the Senior Citizens Association, we got 700 submissions from our members in hard copy, because we're not too skilled on the digital thing yet. And hopefully that'll have an impact. And the more people we have and the more voices joined together, the more effective we'll all be. But while we're talking about that, I think you mentioned that the Acid Corbin's Wine Museum might be getting a little bit of momentum.
It was in the Western Leader. Joe Barbich has been the winemaker. Barbich's Wines is second oldest in the country, still in existence after Mission. He was in the Western Leader, and he wants something done. So if he wants something done and Sappich's, I would say slowly but surely, they'll all slowly get behind the idea, because otherwise Acid's interested to see, and he'd like to meet up with, like, Terry Dunleavy and people from the Wine Institute, they would be the drivers of it. We're just the, what you could call, the gatherers of information or of the people. And we're doing that pretty well, I think. We're supporters.
Yeah, and I think too, I mean, heritage is a very important part of the older communities' lives. I mean, because we're almost sort of relics and artifacts in ourselves.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of, that's once again the sort of community support that Great Power can give through publicity and through sort of assistance with putting a case to council and the authorities and helping people like ACID and the heritage people off the ground. Because it's getting harder these days as the city gets bigger and the fundraising is sort of, more and more complex and difficult.
Well, it's interesting, Bill, that where Corbin's Wine Estate is, or where this art centre is, there's one of the trust members, I won't mention the name because it's not prudent to do so, but they are saying, oh, well, we should have little tiny little exhibits and everything online. But no, you can't exhibit this stuff, the winemaking gear or stuff like that. It needs a building, it needs space, and it needs to be on that site, because that's where ACID Abraham Corbin, that's the real foundation of the large winemaking in New Zealand that we know today.
Well, that's the whole point with heritage, and I think people don't understand sort of perhaps the linkage that you have with the place and the site and the ambience of it. And having a wine museum stuck at the back of Te Papa doesn't mean anything.
No.
But if you have it
on the site there where ACID said the stables were and the winemaking facilities were, and that's, I know roughly where that is. If they had it on that spot, that's the heritage site that they could do something with it.
Yeah, well, I think, well, hopefully that'll come to pass.
Yeah.
I mean, the sort of heritage sector in Auckland's under threat, and the whole funding for heritage sector has disappeared completely
from the council
budget. And for people like I see Corbin, golly, he must be getting close to 90, isn't he?
94.
And his knowledge and his artefacts and the stories he have just have to be recorded. So that's where we're at. We're sort of through the session for today, and as I say, probably focused on council a bit more than we usually do, because that's the flavour of the month. The whole Auckland plan is up in the air. So thank you for listening. As Marty said, pay your sub, get your friends and neighbours to do so. It's not very expensive. And we'll look forward to talking to you again next month. Bye for now.
A winter's day in a deep and dark December. I am alone, gazing from my window to the streets below, on a freshly fallen silent shroud of snow. I am a rock, I am an island. I've built walls and fortress deep and mighty that none may penetrate. I have no need of friendship. Friendship causes pain. It's laughter and it's loving I disdain. I am a rock. I am an island. Don't talk of love. The slumber of feelings that have died. If I never loved, I never would have cried. I am a rock, I am an island. I have my books and my poetry to protect me. My room, safe within my womb, I touch no
one and no one touches me.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6 or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word. Never